Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. Well, today is day three of the KSFR Fun Drive, day two of the weekdays of the KSFR Fun Drive, and it is time, ladies and gentlemen, to go to your phones. Why do we do this? We do this because we want to stay on the air. We want to continue to offer you high-quality programming like the one you're listening to and the ones that you've been listening to this morning if you've been up, or maybe you're just getting up and your radio alarm clock is going off and you're saying, where's my coffee? Well, make your coffee, ladies and gentlemen, and go to your phone and call 428-1393. Make a pledge to KSFR and keep us on the air. It's as simple as that. There's a lot of people listening right now. I know a lot of people listen to this program. And if all of them call right now, the fun drive will probably be over very soon. So the number is 428-1393. Calling is the right thing to do because this radio station can only support itself when you support us. We don't have a high budget. We don't have a lot of waste. I've never seen much of any waste at KSFR, actually. And we bring you what you want to hear, the local news, the radio cafe, the BBC, jazz, news at noon, and all kinds of programs. And the way we're supported is through you. 428-1393 is the number. And when you call, if you want, we will announce your name on the air. And if you don't want to, we won't. So give us a call. Support public radio. Support the radio cafe. 428-1393. I'd like now to welcome Ann Hillerman. She's an author, she's a teacher, she's the daughter of the author Tony Hillerman, who is going to be honored tonight at the second annual Kate Besser Memorial Lecture Series. It's a tribute to his life and work. Probably many of you have read Tony Hillerman novels, and in fact, if you make a pledge by calling during this hour, and only during this hour, you can get one of two Tony Hillerman novels, which we have right here. I actually have them in my hand. And you can also get, if you want to, a copy of his memoir called Seldom Disappointed. We've got four copies of that. We've got actually probably a few more. And we have a copy of two different novels, Thief of Time and Skinwalkers. So make a contribution, 428-1393. 428-1393, and you can get a copy of each of those books. You can also get a ticket to the event tonight. So the event is at 7 o'clock at the Lenzic Theater here in Santa Fe, and it's going to be quite a occasion. Ann Hillerman, what's happening tonight? Welcome, by the way.
Thank you. Gosh, it's a pleasure to be here and to have a chance to talk about my favorite subject, my dad. There's a group in New York called Symphony Space, and they specialize in doing dramatic reading, usually of short stories. Well, my dad didn't really write short stories, so he had one collection of short stories called The Great Taos Bank Robbery. So they're doing the title story from that collection, and then they're doing the opening chapters of Skinwalkers and Thief of Time. So it's so appropriate that you have them this morning for premiums for people who call in.
Yes, in fact, that's why we did it that way. And tonight, actor Wes Studi, who is a Santa Fean at this point and a wonderful actor, he's going to be reading. And Kate Burton, who is known from her work as an actor in Grey's Anatomy, Alice in Wonderland, and many Broadway stage productions, they're going to be the ones who are reading.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's just going to be a first-rate professional theater production. I mean, I say production. People will have a chance to use their imaginations because there aren't going to be sets or costumes. It's just, as a reporter for the Journal said, just the naked words out there. I think it's going to be really exciting. Wes Studi is fabulous. He was the guy who played Joe Leaphorn in the movies that PBS made of Dad's books. So he really knows the character. And he's a very generous soul, too. I was so happy that Symphony Space asked him to be part of this.
Indeed, indeed he is, and a very great actor. So this is all happening tonight, and after the event, KSFR is sponsoring a reception nearby, and if you want tickets to the reception where there's going to be fabulous food and wine and things like that, you can also get that. So all of these things, if you give a call right now to 428-1393, we're making it very easy for you to donate to public radio by not only giving you the chance to be part of this great endeavor, namely bringing good quality radio to the community and to the ever greater community. We extend pretty much from Albuquerque to Taos at this point. Not only can you be part of this endeavor, but you can also actually do some fun things. Read Tony Hillerman novels. Read Tony Hillerman's autobiography or memoir, we call it. Go to the event tonight at the Lensing at 7, and go to the reception afterwards, or any single one of those, or combination of the above.
What a deal.
I know. They can, and I won't talk about the donation amounts. You can talk to your very friendly phone person who is sitting there waiting for your call at 428-1393.
I think the tickets have sold really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have friends who were looking for them a couple days ago, and they said all they could find were seats in the balcony. So I imagine whatever you're giving away is probably better than those seats. So.
Yeah, because they gave us seats a while back. And so we have, I think, pretty, I'm not sure what rows they're in, but they're probably pretty good. So it's a way to get into this, get a good seat in this theater and donate to KSFR at the same time. Ann Hillerman, you grew up in, I guess, a pretty big family. Is
yeah,
that right?
I was the oldest of six kids.
The oldest of six kids. And what was it like for you? I mean, I was thinking before we went on the air, I was saying, you know, my dad was a professor, and he was always writing and typing. I had not the slightest idea what he was doing. Were you aware of what your father was doing? Were you reading his books when you were a kid?
Well, no, because his first book wasn't published until I was pretty much, I was in college when his first book, Blessing Way, was published. But I was aware always that writing was really important to him. When my family first moved to Santa Fe, which was in the 50s, my dad, I was just a little guy, but my dad had come to be in charge of the United Press International Bureau here. He was the Santa Fe Bureau Chief. And then after that, he went to work for the New Mexican as editor. And while he was at the New Mexican, at that point, I was old enough to kind of be paying attention to what was going on. And every night, we would have dinner. Us kids would go to bed. And then my dad had a desk in his bedroom, and he would sit there and write. And looking back on it, you know, having spent all day already writing, I think that just really reflected how important it was to him to get his stories on paper. At that point, he was playing with fiction, but he was mainly writing nonfiction articles to supplement his income as a journalist.
Uh-huh.
But it was interesting. Through those articles, he had an agent. And then through that agent, he basically had the encouragement to try fiction. And then even though his agent wasn't particularly impressed with his fiction, having written it then, he, you know, had something in hand to go himself to an editor. So it was interesting. It all came, you know, all came of a piece.
It's interesting when journalists become fiction writers. There are some fiction writers who became fiction writers because they were so embellishing their journalism that they weren't quite cut out for the task. I imagine that Tony Hillerman was somebody who was a very good journalist even before he went to fiction.
He got a lot of prizes, yes, for his journalism. And he often said how his background in journalism really helped him as a fiction writer. The ability to do good research, the ability to sort through the facts and find which ones were the most relevant to the story that he wanted to tell. And then also all of the endless meetings you go to as a journalist, listening to so many different people talk, and how later he was able to put that to good use in terms of writing dialogue.
Now, he grew up in rural Oklahoma and ended up writing these books that we know so well about Navajo people. Was it his journalistic beats that got him into Indian country?
No, although I'm sure as a journalist, you know, he did Indian country stories. Right after World War II, he'd been injured in World War II, and he was home on a medical furlough. And he got a job driving a truck full of oil well drilling equipment from Oklahoma out to the Navajo reservation. And as he was doing that, he saw a group of Navajo Marines who'd returned from World War II. At the time, he didn't know they were Navajo Marines. He just knew they were Indians in ceremonial regalia on horseback. And he was totally curious about what was going on. And he asked somebody, and they said, oh, yeah, those are our boys, and they're home from the war, and we're having a curing ceremony for them. And Dad said, well, gee, could outsiders go? And the guy said, oh, yeah, sure, just don't drink too much and behave yourself. So he was able to, it was a blessing way ceremony, and he was able to, or maybe it was enemy way, I'm sorry. Anyway, he was able to watch that ceremony. And it just, he was, I guess, about 20 at the time, because he had just come back himself from the war. And he said it just influenced him so profoundly. I mean, not only the ceremony itself, but the fact that the Navajo people were really welcoming back their young men and realized that things that had happened to them in the Pacific or in Europe were very profound things that would have big effect on their spiritual lives, and we're trying to basically heal the pain and say, you know, we're your community, and we're glad to have you back, and we're knowing that now you're going to be part of us again. And so that stayed with him. He went back to Oklahoma and you know, became a journalist, but those images just stayed in his mind for years, and I think were the spark of his interest in writing about Navajo detectives.
I think stories like that and stories in some of the novels bring out such interesting themes about cultural difference. And one of the cultural differences is in, for lack of a better word, white culture, when somebody comes back from war, basically it's their problem, a medical problem, and a family problem, and that's pretty much it. Whereas in the story you just told, it's really a community problem that's shared in a deep way. That's such a huge difference in how you see injury, whether it be mental, spiritual, or physical injury.
Yeah. Injury and dysfunction in general. Yeah. And in a lot of my dad's books, themes like that, I mean, he doesn't beat people over the head with it, but he was very interested in cultural differences. And so those themes then are interwoven into his novels.
Now, did some of those I don't know what you want to call it, different ways of living, different values seep into your childhood and the way you were raised?
That's a wonderful question. I hadn't thought of that, but I would say yes. Both of my parents were very supportive and sort of non-interventionist parents. They always told us that they thought all of us had the ability to solve our own problems. And basically, if we came to them with a problem, they would say to us, well, that's an interesting situation. What do you think you could do about it? Rather than saying, this is what you should do about it. Or saying, what a bad kid you are for having this problem in the first place. You know, they were very, very respectful of our abilities to get out of our own messes.
And so
And another thing that they really were very conscious of was their role as part of the community. I mean, my dad in his work as journalism, and also in his outside work through his religion, was very involved in a lot of causes, and so was my mom.
What was his religion?
Catholic, Roman Catholic. Both of my parents are. And they were very, good, I guess just good neighbors in the largest sense of that word. As my husband and I have just finished a book that's following Dad's characters through Indian country. And as part of that book, we've come across so many instances where people would say, oh, yeah, I know your parents. They were here. See that water truck? That's the water truck that they bought for us. You know, and they didn't want us to ever, you know, make a big deal about it. Or we were in Monument Valley, and we were doing research for the book, and the people at the high school said there, oh yeah, see all these lights for our football field. That's what your dad bought for us. And I mean, they never told me these stories. They never bragged about it. They just sort of saw little places where they could make a difference and did it. And I think that was the lesson that all of us kids got from them.
And it is amazing how generosity is kind of catching if you're open to it, especially that humble kind of generosity, because you see somebody doing that without wanting anything in return, and then you do that for the next person down.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That kind of comes back to your fun drive.
It does come back to our fun drive. 4281393. Thank you, Anne. We're talking to Anne Hillerman. She's the daughter of Tony Hillerman. She is an author, and she's a teacher. And why do you think that people should donate right now to KSFR?
Just because public radio is so wonderful. I mean, you can learn so much, things that you didn't even know you didn't know. And, you know, it's just, you turn on the radio, and there it is. It's just, it's fabulous.
428-1393 is the number, 428-1393 in the area code 505. If you're calling from out of area, it's a toll-free number, and that toll-free number is 1-866-907-5737. That's 866-907-KSFR. And we've got some thank yous. Let's turn to Marilyn in the control room.
Yes, indeed. First of all, thanks to the University of New Mexico at Los Alamos. They said in these times, the importance of education and training is greater than ever, and they feel that we do a wonderful job with our shows here on KSFR. And they said also for us to check out UNM at Los Alamos.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And then Michael and Andrea Gross.
Thank you.
And Linda Prince.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks to all of you. And let's keep the telephones ringing. 428-1393. 428-1393. Once again, we've got a whole bunch. We've got 10 Tony Hillerman books and probably a few more if we look around. But we definitely have 10 Tony Hillerman books, 3 copies of Skinwalkers, and again of A Thief of Time, and then 4 copies of the memoir Seldom Disappointed. 428-1393. You can also get tickets to tonight's show at the Lensic. It's a tribute to Tony Hillerman. It's the second annual Kate Besser Memorial Lecture. And also you can get a ticket to the reception afterwards, sponsored by, yes, KSFR. Did you read the memoir Seldom Disappointed before it came out, when it came out?
I read it. I think Dad was almost finished with it. It was like maybe the second to last draft. And I was really pleased that he asked me to read it. And a lot of I'd say about half the book is his experiences, a little family history, and then his experiences up until the time that he becomes a journalist. A lot of the stuff about what happened to him in World War II. And like a lot of men of that generation, he had never talked about that.
Yeah.
I had never heard any of those stories. And I have to say, I was really surprised and amazed. And also, I was flabbergasted at how lightly he told them. You know, here's the story about him almost dying in France, stepping on a landmine, having his foot blown off, being blinded, basically, being in the hospital in a body cast, blind for 3 or 4 months. And the stories are about how everybody, the guys who were around him were playing poker and they were smoking. And he loved to play poker. He wasn't smoking. And so he was complaining about them smoking. And so they said, well, if you smoked, Hillerman, you wouldn't be complaining. Why don't you start smoking? He said, okay. Well, he couldn't, at one point he couldn't move the cigarette away from his mouth. And so they got busy in the game and they forgot to move it. So it like burning his lips.
Oh,
and
God.
But it's like a funny story, but I'm thinking this really wasn't very funny.
Right. And it's so interesting in moments of adversity what details your mind chooses to focus on.
Exactly, exactly. Well, and I think it's a wonderful survival skill that all of us have. But he was saying that period when he was in the hospital in France really influenced him to become a writer. Before that, he had been thinking he would go back to school and become a chemical engineer. Well, then he was thinking, gosh, if I'm blind, I can't really be an engineer. So what could I do? And he always had an appreciation for good stories. You know, as you mentioned, growing up in a rural town back in the 20s and 30s, when there wasn't a lot of electronic media, people told each other stories. And his family was a storytelling family. So he'd been thinking, well, you know, maybe I can do something like that. But it hadn't really gelled until after he regained his sight and came back home. But it was that period in the hospital that really gave him a chance to reconsider what he was going to do with his life.
We're talking to Ann Hillerman. She is the daughter of Tony Hillerman. And once again, the number for the KSFR Pledge Drive is 428-1393. We don't call it the Pledge Drive because you are driving to work. But if you are driving to work, don't have an accident by calling on your cell phone. Either pull over or use your hands-free headset or whatever you got to do, or wait till you get to work. But call as soon as you can and make a contribution to KSFR, because we want to stay on the air. We want to keep serving you. We want to keep bringing you the kind of programming that you hear, that you love, that you need, and that you get without commercial interruptions. We've got a few little underwriting spots here and there, but we do not have the wailing and screeching and yelling of commercials that you have. And, you know, no offense to our wonderful counterparts on commercial radio, but it can get annoying and it can get really, really long. We don't have that on KSFR. What we have instead is the pledge drive. So give us a call, 428-1393. And support KSFR, support our underwriters, too. That makes the whole world go round when it all works, when everybody is conscious of how this whole great system works, this sort of great ecosystem of public radio. Namely, everybody is part of it. The listeners are part of it. The producers are part of it. The technicians, the staff, and all of you right now. 428-1393 or 866-907-5737, 866-907-KSFR. We're going to hear an interview right now that I recorded a couple days ago with Carolyn Marino. She was the editor of Tony Hillerman's books. We're going to go to that and take this opportunity to go to your phone right now, and we'll be back with Ann Hillerman in just a moment. Please stay tuned. I'd like now to welcome Carolyn Marino. She is a senior vice president and executive editor at HarperCollins Books, and she edited the work of Tony Hillerman. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
So for how long were you editing Tony Hillerman's books? When did you meet?
We met around 1990, when I first came to HarperCollins Publishers, which at the time was Harper & Row. And I met Tony at a sales conference that we had, and liked him immensely. I had been reading his books for years, and so I began to work with him shortly after that.
What was the nature of your work together? Like, how do you edit Tony Hillerman?
Tony did not need a lot of editing. Tony would think about what he wanted to write. And he would call me and he would say, you know, I've got an idea, and we would talk about it, and he would tell me sort of the bones of the story that he wanted to write, and then he would sit down and write it, and he would send it in when he finished it, and I would read it and, you know, go over it, and if there were some things that we needed to talk about, we would, and that was the process.
I've always wondered, when people come from a place that's not New York or anything like New York or anywhere near New York, how their editors make decisions about what they even have the authority and ability to deal with and to edit. I mean, the subject matter is so New Mexican or so Southwestern.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean, Tony was such an expert on matters New Mexican and the Navajos. That wasn't a part of editing that I did. I mean, he was the expert. And, you know, I might have had a question about, you know, if a character goes into a general store here and then later we see him doing something else, you know, does this follow? Questions about the story, questions about the characterizations, but the setting and, you know, and the subject, that was pure Tony. I was there to read and, you know, see if an inconsistency popped up or many of Tony's readers did not come from New Mexico. And I think, you know, part of my job as his editor was to see how the general reader, you know, if everything was clear to the general reader who wasn't as familiar with the Navajos as Tony. And so an editor's job can be, it differs with every author. And, you know, and as an editor, I would tailor, you know, my comments to the work in hand. And so I didn't really deal very much with the New Mexican, the regional aspects of Tony's writing, because he didn't need an editor there. He couldn't be bettered.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing about mystery fiction. You have the artifice and almost formula, which is a necessity or it's a part of the plot. But then the settings and the characters are really much more realism. And I imagine the books have served a kind of educational purpose in letting people get to know about this part of the country and about Navajo people in particular.
Yes, you know, Tony's books were sold not only in bookstores. You know, I've seen them in museums. I have seen them. There used to be a travel bookstore right across Fifth Avenue in New York City, right across from my office. And it was a wonderful bookstore because if you were going to visit, for instance, Albuquerque, and you went over to the section to pick up a book to take with you on your trip, there would be Tony Hillerman's novels. And I think I always thought that was wonderful because reading what Tony wrote about the area was just a wonderful way to introduce yourself to it and immerse yourself in it and to become a much more knowledgeable traveler. So his books were sold certainly in other places than the traditional bookstore, and for the very reason that his regional writing was so superb.
Genre fiction has always been a kind of a, what would you call it, a lower class, so to speak, than so-called literary fiction. I always wonder about that. Where do you think Tony Hillerman's work fits into the larger category of American literature?
I think that while Tony Hillerman's books did involve mysteries and could be called mystery novels, I think they were much larger. I think they were much larger in scope. I think they were much larger in setting, in overall themes, really, and I think in the quality of his writing. And I have always considered Tony Hillerman to be a literary writer, and he is a writer of mysteries, and I think the two go together. I think you can read a Tony Hillerman novel if you're a mystery enthusiast and you want to read it for the mystery, that's fine, but there are so many other things there.
What was your relationship like with Tony Hillerman? How did you get to know him over the years?
I would meet him from time to time when he came to New York, when he was made a Grand Master by the Mystery Writers of America. I would see him at various sales conferences wherever we were, and we talked on the phone a lot. I always loved his phone calls. Tony was just such a wonderful man and so much fun to talk to, and very witty, and he was also always quoting A.J. Liebling and, you know, just a person you'd love to know whether or not you were working with him. Meeting him in person, we would do things when he came to New York with his wife, Marie. Once we went to the botanical gardens and walked around and looked at the roses. And it wasn't all really just sitting and listening to him on a panel at a mystery conference or seeing him accept an award, although there was a part of it, but you know, it over the years, since there were so many years that we worked together, I had some opportunities to see Tony and to get to know him, and it was really great.
On some level, I would imagine that you develop a relationship not only with the author but with the characters. You know, you see Jim Chee and some of these other characters in the books get older and go through their own lives, and when an author dies, I suppose that's part of what you lose as well.
Yes, absolutely. When Tony wrote his last book, he was working on The Shapeshifter, and he called me one day and he said, "You know, I have a title for this book. Let's call it Leap Horn's Last Case." And I said, "Oh gosh, Tony, that would be so upsetting to so many people to think that it would be Leap Horn's Last Case." And he came up with The Shapeshifter, which I think is a very wonderful title for the book. But yes, you do, as a reader, develop a relationship with these characters. And I think one of the nice things is being able to go back and to read the early books before Leap Horn and Chee were brought together, you know, as they were in Skinwalkers. We have the privilege of going back and rereading these wonderful novels that, you know, that we've enjoyed. So Leap Horn and Chee live on.
How do you see Tony Hillerman's legacy?
I think Tony Hillerman will be read for many years. I don't think his novels will be dated. I think the way that I still read Dorothy L. Sayers, who was, you know, one of the Golden Age mystery writers, or I still read Jane Austen, and I come back to certain authors that I've read and loved. In that way, I think you can reread Tony Hillerman or read him for the first time, and the material is fresh and the material is wonderful. And I think his legacy as a writer is going to be very enduring. And the other thing I want to say is after Tony, Tony wrote a good number of novels before he started to hit bestseller lists. And once he sort of had that wide audience, a lot of writers would try to do what he did, I think, you know, write about the Southwest. And many writers have written about that area quite well, but I don't think there has ever been anybody who has done what Tony Hillerman did in the way he did it. So I think he does have an enduring legacy.
Yeah, I was wondering, are there younger Southwestern authors who you see as being influenced by him or really going in the direction? I mean, nobody can fill an author's shoes, but somehow walking the same path.
Mm-hmm. I have read some regional authors who, you know, may not be writing about the territory that Tony wrote about, but who have an authentic voice and can write about Montana or Colorado or California. I think it all comes to whether a writer knows the area and can write with a very individual and unique voice. And so in that way, I do from time to time see writers who do that. And there are some mystery writers who, I think there's a husband and wife team who I've seen on the blurbs of their novels that, you know, that they're always being compared in the copy to Tony Hillerman. And I think what they do is quite different from what Tony did, but I can see there's a similarity of place.
Carolyn Marino is editor of Tony Hillerman's books. She's the senior vice president and executive editor at HarperCollins. Thanks so much for being with us on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
It's really been a pleasure to talk to you. I always love to have a chance to talk about Tony Hillerman.
And we're back here in the Santa Fe Bacon Company with Ann Hillerman. Once again, tonight is the second annual Kate Besser Memorial Lecture featuring a tribute to the life and work of the great novelist Tony Hillerman. 428-1393 is how you can get some tickets to that event and how you can get some books, how you can go to the reception afterwards, how you can read Tony Hillerman's memoir, and oh so much more. We have a couple of thank yous.
Yes, indeed. One is Scott Miller.
Thank you, Scott Miller.
And Scott reminded us that if you have an employer that will match your contribution as he does, call now, 428-1393. And the other thank you goes to Denise Cope.
Thank you. Thank you, Denny Cope, who has been on this program also. Ann Hillerman, so when you are, here you are, the daughter of this wonderful person, and you lost your father a year ago, and when you have somebody who is so well-known and who is so well-loved by the public, not just by the family, it makes the whole saying goodbye and grieving and mourning process a really different thing. What's that like for you?
Gosh, that's quite a question. It's hard to compare it. I had never experienced the loss of somebody like my dad. My grandfather had died, but I was just a kid. I think it's good overall, although it keeps you in that place of grief because people keep, you know, coming up to you and telling you how much the person that you've lost, how much my dad meant to them. And so I've heard so many, many wonderful, wonderful stories. All in all, I think it's been good, but it is a little exhausting. I know after Dad died, I had been doing the Tony Hillerman Mystery Conference, and the conference, Dad died in the end of October. The conference was the middle of November, and of course we went on with the conference because, you know, everybody was coming, and it really seemed like an appropriate way to memorialize him. But then after that conference, my husband and I went to California for a long weekend, and it was really nice to be there and not have anybody, when they heard my name, say, oh, are you the daughter, and oh, I'm so sorry, and then to tell me their stories, even though I loved hearing those stories. It was just kind of nice to get a vacation from that.
Truly. Yeah, for you living here in New Mexico and using your maiden name, so to speak, that's always with you, presumably, that connection.
Yeah, and I love it. I mean, really, it's I feel so honored to have heard all of these stories. I think usually when people's parents die, you know, there are all those stories floating out there, but there's not really a magnet to collect them. But because I had the same name and because I'm in the same place as Dad and because he was such a well-known figure, I think people kind of, those stories have kind of, you know, been attracted to me.
428-1393 is the radio pledge drive number. Please call in right now. And even if you don't want a copy of the books, maybe you already have them all, or maybe you've gotten them all out of the library. Just give a call and make a contribution to public radio anyway so you can get the kind of programming that you like and that you need in your radio every day. 428-1393 is the number. Now, Ann Hillerman, you've got a couple of books in the pipeline yourself. One is out and one's about to come out.
That's right. Yeah, the one that's about to come out is called Tony Hillerman's Landscape, On the Road with Chian Leaphorn. And earlier, Andrea and Michael Gross called in with a pledge. And Andrea is one of the people who is, she's a board member with the Friends of the Santa Fe Public Library. And we're doing the book launch of Tony Hillerman's Landscape as a benefit for the Santa Fe Public Library. And the Friends of the Library are helping us with it. The book is photographs of different places that she and Leaphorn visit on their quest to solve crimes over the last 35 years. My husband, Don Strell, is a professional photographer, so we spent about 3 years on the reservation getting all of these photos. And Don has put together a beautiful slideshow, which is photos from our book, and then family photos, pictures of Dad growing up in Oklahoma. And then some, you know, whenever you do a book, you always have three times as many photos that just don't quite make it in the book. So some of those beautiful photos are in the slideshow too. And then I've done a script, which is recollections of Dad and stories that he told about why some of that landscape really resonated with him. And then quotes from, say, Joe Leaphorn as he's driving from Window Rock to Gallup, talking about the scenery, and then pictures of the actual scenery that he's describing that Dad described.
It's such a fun blurring of the lines between fact and fiction.
Yeah.
I mean, it's there were people who at a certain point would write letters to Sherlock Holmes as if he were a real person. And Joe Leaphorn and Jim Chee can sort of become like that readers.
Well, Dad said that often he got letters from people about Jim Chee's love life, saying, you know, why didn't Jim Chee do such and such, and why didn't he do such and such? And by the way, they had a niece who they thought would just be perfect for Jim Chee.
No.
Yeah.
I'm speechless. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think because people could see Jim Chee from, you know, when he was basically new on the force, you know, being a detective, you know, being an acting lieutenant, and then going back down the food chain.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And what's nice is the characters age over the years in the fiction as we would be doing in real life. And you have that in Michael McGarrity's mysteries too, his characters, you know, getting married and divorced and so on. How did Tony Hillerman really get to know, I mean, after that seminal experience when he was 20 years old, seeing a healing ceremony in Navajo country, how did he then learn all the things he learned that he put into the books?
Well, some of it had to do with his background as a journalist. I mean, he really knew how to do research. And When in the mid-60s, my family moved from Santa Fe to Albuquerque. Dad got a job at the University of New Mexico. And being there gave him access to UNM's libraries and also access to a lot of people in the anthropology department, you know, who had done Navajo research. And more than that, also he met a lot of Navajo people on campus, and then they would introduce him to their relatives. So it was a combination of learning from, you know, white anthropologists who had done a lot of research on Navajos, and then learning direct stories from Navajo people that he knew.
And there was something, I imagine, about his personality, and some really good journalists have this, which is that they earn trust by being almost invisible. They don't impose their personalities at all. And just because they're so open and they're present, but they're really not making a splash themselves, people tell them things that they wouldn't tell other people.
That's exactly right. Dad was a really good listener. And I think, and you're a good listener too, by the way. I think that's one reason people love your program.
Oh, thank you.
And I think when you listen, then you kind of know what questions to ask, because you're really in the conversation instead of just having a list of questions that you have to follow, which is, you know, sometimes what happens with journalism.
That is just a little reminder that if you like this program, and thank you, Ann Hillerman, for your kind words, please call in and support it. 428-1393 is the number, and we repeat it so often because sometimes people say, well, I wanted to support your program, but I didn't get the phone number. So we give it about 5,000 times per second, and that way you can actually get to your telephone and use it. You can also pledge online at ksfr.org. But it's just as easy to go to 428-1393, 428-1393, and make a pledge. And just let people know, let us know what you like about KSFR. This is also the time, it's the one time of the year where we actually really listen to, we do it twice a year, get to really listen to what people think of the station. People say, you know, I love this show, or, you know, this show could really use a lot less of this and a lot more of that. Or this person I find has a terrific voice, or this person plays the jazz that I like to hear, or whatever it is. It doesn't all have to be positive. We really take the negative criticism to heart, and sometimes people write me letters and say, I can't believe you did this, and I write back, and then we have a conversation about it, and conversation is what it's all about here on KSFR and here on this program. 428-1393, 428-1393, or 866, that's the toll-free number, 866-907-5737. That's 866-907-KSFR. Ann Hillerman, I read somewhere that your father was really inspired in his fiction by the Australian author Arthur W. Upfield, whose books, which were a couple generations ago, were set among the Aboriginal people of Australia.
Yeah.
And it was the same kind of, you know, colonialism and tribal life and where those things meet and clash and cultural differences and things like that.
That's right. And also some beautiful descriptions of the Australian outback. Yeah, I think those books, Dad was a voracious reader, thanks largely to the library systems. And that was how he discovered Upfield. Which, you know, growing up in a little town in Oklahoma, you would never have access to those books. But because the Oklahoma Public Library System had books by mail, people would, you know, Dad somehow lucked onto those books. And that's another reason that when we do our book launch, we're doing it as a benefit for the Santa Fe Public Library.
Very nice.
Yeah, it just seemed so appropriate. That event is going to be November 8th. It's a Sunday. It's totally different than what Symphony Space is doing. So people are welcome to come to both of them. That's where Don and I are going to be showing our pictures of the landscapes in Dad's books. And we're still putting the program together with the Friends of the Library, but I'm sure they're going to be promoting it. We'll have a little something to remind people at the event tonight, the Symphony Space event.
Excellent.
Yeah. But getting back to Upfield, Dad always encouraged people who wanted to be writers to read everything. And I think, you know, back when he read those books, I'm sure he had no idea that he was going to someday be writing about the Navajo and their beautiful landscape. But that little kernel just stuck in his brain and later came to fruition.
It's so interesting. It's, once again, botany metaphors. Seeds coming out and becoming these great trees.
Yeah, I thought it was so interesting what Carolyn Marina was saying about going to the botanic gardens with Mom and Dad.
Right.
Yeah.
We're talking to Ann Hillerman. So your book is coming out in November. It'll be launched at the Santa Fe Public Library on, what was the date again?
November 8th.
November 8th.
November 8th. We're doing an event at the University of New Mexico on the Thursday before that, November 5th. But November 8th is the big Santa Fe to-do.
And so we'll probably talk about that again.
Well, I hope so.
On this program, and look forward to seeing the books. Are the photographs in color, black and white, or both?
Color. Well, we have some historic photos of Hopi, which of course are in black and white because that's what they were taken in. But all of Don's photos are in color. Well, and there are a lot of mostly landscape photos, but also some beautiful trading post photos.
Very interesting. So people can see that. And it'd be interesting to go to the event tonight, the Kate Besser Memorial Lecture, and then maybe read a few Tony Hillerman mysteries, maybe read his memoir, and then see the pictures in your upcoming book and kind of put together that sort of bigger sense of this author and his life.
Yeah, I think so. We really, as Don and I worked on this book, we really tried to capture the landscapes, not only that Dad talked about in the book, but also the landscapes that it had inspired him. Often he said when he was having trouble in some part of the plot or, you know, kind of moving on, he never called it writer's block. He didn't like to use those words. But he would get in the car and just drive out to the landscape that he was writing about and sometimes just find a shady spot and just sit there and sort of let it roll over him and kind of free his brain from all of the other things that were getting in the way of moving the story along.
We're talking to Ann Hillerman. Now, just because we can, let's talk very briefly about your other book, which has just come out, Santa Fe Flavors, Best Restaurants and Recipes.
Oh, that's my other favorite topic. I love that little book. Gibb Smith, a regional publisher in Utah, put it out. It came out the end of April. I've been doing restaurant reviews for the Albuquerque Journal for about 5 years, and often when people hear that, they say, well, what's your favorite restaurant? And it was hard for me to think, well, Italian, Asian, New Mexican, you know, there's so many choices in Santa Fe. So I thought maybe there would be a market for a book like this. And I pitched the idea to Gibb Smith. And they said, yeah, we love it, but you really ought to talk to these restaurants and have them give you a recipe, too. And I had never done this. I wasn't sure how tough that would be. But the restaurants were all just open-hearted about it. They were really glad to participate. I would say I think there are 50 restaurants in the book, and maybe my original list was 60. And so there were just, you know, those few restaurants that either they didn't give out their recipes, or they really meant to, and life just got in the way, and finally my deadline was here, and I had to say, you know, if we ever do a revision, maybe I'll pick you up then.
Well, I won't ask you what your favorite restaurant is, because that just wouldn't be fair, but what are some of your favorite dishes?
Oh, I love anything with chili. I think because I've grown up here, good green chili, good red chili. It's just like comfort food to me. And then I love desserts. In the recipe, there's the fresh
chili chocolate cake, perhaps?
Sure. And I like just things that I would never make at home. You know, I love complicated recipes that in the end don't taste fussy. Where just everything sort of blends together so you get kind of a smooth, wonderful result.
Seamless. You know, yeah. Sometimes Thai food can be that way. So many little ingredients in it, and you don't know, you can't even pick out what they are.
Yeah, you just know it's fabulous.
We're talking to Ann Hillerman, and it's almost time to go. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you have called, and if you haven't, please give a call to the station, 428-1393. Oh, we also have to hear from our underwriters. Let's take a little break for that, and you can listen to who our wonderful underwriters are, and also give us a call, 428-1393. We'll be back in just a moment. And we're back with Ann Hillerman. We've just got a couple of minutes left, and Ann Hillerman very kindly just wrote a check to KSFR. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for everything you do for this community. I think public radio is just another thing that makes Santa Fe a wonderful place to live.
There are a lot of things, and they go together, that make Santa Fe a wonderful place to live. Public radio is one of them. We have all sorts of public radio stations in New Mexico. When I first moved here, I had no idea that there was such a richness of programming in a state that had such a small population. We have all these independent bookstores, Collected Works Bookstore, Garcia Street Books. We have the Ark. We have many wonderful used bookstores. We have Nicholas Potter Books and so many others. We have the Lenzik and incredible programming that goes on at the Lenzik. We have the opera. We have chamber music. We have every kind of art museum. And this in a town of, what are we, 80,000 people?
Yeah. And then all the festivals, too.
And all the festivals. And so all of this is happening. And what we try to do, and I think what we succeed to some extent in doing, is being the glue that holds it all together here at Public Radio, at KSFR, letting everybody know about these things that are happening. Interviewing. I make it my business to interview as many of the people as I can, both locally and from out of town, who are bringing some of this, who are bringing this work to the people. And I'll tell you, so many connections get made. I will talk about a book. Somebody will then go to the reading. They will then meet the author or meet somebody else, and their lives will go in a new direction. And it started here. Of course, it started before me, too. I'm just part of this station is just part of a big chain. And how do you keep that going? How do you not break the link in the chain? Well, It's really easy, and it costs you almost nothing. What you do is you go to your telephone, which is a cell phone or a landline, or maybe Skype, and you call 428-1393. Once again, that's 428-1393. You call that number, and then you make a pledge. Now, let's say you can afford to give $20. That's fabulous. It's not about how much you can give. It's that you choose to give. Or maybe you can give $200. That's fantastic. Maybe you can give more. Whatever is within your means. Sometimes I like to say, whatever your hourly wage is, maybe give us 3 hours or 2 hours, 2 or 3 hours of your hourly wage. Make a pledge to KSFR. Do it twice a year. Sometimes some people do it once a year. Whatever you can do, 428-1393. We're going to go now. Mary Lynn, what's happening?
Well, we have Tom Moore to thank, and he loves you, Mary Charlotte.
Thank you, Tom. And thanks to all of you. Keep those calls coming. Keep listening to KSFR. Please keep us going. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. I'm Mary Charlotte, KSFR.org. Is the website. My website is radiocafe@ksfr.org. My email is Santa. Forget it. We'll just look it up. Ann Hillerman, thanks for being with us. It's time to go.
Charlotte.
Bye.